Good morning. Welcome to this meeting of the Cabinet. I'm chairing it as Councillor Johnson's got a bad throat just now. There we are. Any apologies?
Apologies from Vic Bourne and from Ruth Halley.
Thank you. And the order of business?
Is per the agenda.
Any declarations of interest can be made now or during the course of the meeting. 4.1, the Cabinet portfolios, a report by the Director of Resources.
Thanks, Chair. This report invites the Cabinet to appoint to portfolios. The detail is set out in Section 2 of the report, and the recommendation is for Cabinet to confirm portfolio members. Thank you.
I take it we're all happy to confirm that and note these. We have them stated there in the correct order. They're not in the order of the members of Cabinet is not the order of the portfolio. Councillor Rosie's Commercial Services, Councillor Bryant is Planning, Communities and Economy, and Councillor Parry is Finance and Integrated Services. So we're happy to note that. The minutes of the Cabinet of the 12th of January. Happy to approve these. Yes, Kath?
I just wondered, in order of business, I just wondered if the letter had been sent out to Yvonne Anderson, the swimming coach, because I hadn't seen it.
Yeah, the letter has been issued, but I can certainly provide you with a copy. That's not a problem. Okay.
Thank you. And with that, are we happy to approve?
Good.
The next item, the minutes of the Special Cabinet of 9th February, submitted for approval. That's an education appointment. Happy to approve that. And the head teacher at Lasswade High School Centre. We're happy to approve that. Next item is minutes of item 4.4, Education Appointment Committee of 5th February for Bilston, and 4.5, North Gore Bridge. We're happy to approve these. They relate to the appointments of two excellent head teachers for these new schools, and they're certainly during the interviews. The excitement of the applicants could be seen, and they're looking forward to taking over, which were completely brand new schools. And it was good to see that in these both cases, there were already parents' councils in formation, in position, and taking an active part in the interviews. So we're happy to approve these, and we'll go on to item 4.6, which is the Council Help Building Programme report by John.
Thanks, Chair. Gary Sherritt's on leave this week, so I'll take this report. This latest progress report updates Cabinet on the Council's new house building programme. The overall programme will result in a spend in the region of £172 million and 1,284 houses. Section 2.22 of the report follows the previous formats and details the three sites which are under construction in the towns of Lonehead, Gorebridge and Bonnerig. Sections 2.23 and 2.24 provide details of the sites which are at pre-construction phase in Gorebridge and Penicuik. With regards to New Buyer Crescent, I can advise the Cabinet that the demolition works actually commenced yesterday. And today, Chair, Cabinet is asked to note the progress report. Thank you.
It's certainly a very exciting report, a very ambitious report. Does anyone wish to make any comments on it? Derek?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Thanks, John. Yeah, it's very good to see that we're still pushing ahead with the house building in Midlothian, and it's good to see that we've got a few of the sites up and running now, and other ones in the pipeline coming forward. The other one is it's good that the Stob Hill site is going to be ready fairly soon, and next year, early next year, but in view of the problems we've had at New Buyers, I know there was a lot of people initially who identified Stob Hill as a a place they would like to be rehoused, and it's good that we're heading forward with that and get that up and running. The other thing is, you've answered the sort of question I was going to ask, is on the one on the new buyers, the demolition. That's good. That's started, you're saying, John, which is good, and that means we can get that up and running. I note that they had to go out to re-tendering again because there's some issues back in November. Is there any reason why that's not going ahead till May? Is there anything why we have to wait or delay it? I don't know.
I assume you're referring to page 28. I don't have the answer offhand, but I'll give committee a note following the meeting.
Kelly.
Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to take the opportunity to point out how important this is in terms of our demographics. And I think literally every single time I've sat in this chamber in the last few weeks, housing and the lack of housing has come up at some point. And I think we're doing incredibly well to try and meet those challenges, and to commit a further £63 million for a second phase is highly commendable. And just to point out as well is that phase two will take into account some of the changes in terms of welfare and demographics as well, and kind of looking towards smaller properties and such like as well.
Speaking as a local member, I particularly welcome the start at Poulton Street in Bonnyrigg, gap site there where the old library was, so particularly good to see that and look forward to the completion there. Is there anyone else? Okay, we'll accept that report and agree the recommendations. And move on to item 4.7, the Local Affordable Rent Housing Trust, and a report by Joint Director.
Thank you, Chair. The report in terms of the Local Affordable Rent Housing Trust follows the Scottish Futures Trust setting up the LAR, which was funded by a £55 million loan from Scottish Government, and anticipated that there will be further leverage from the private sector to the value of £75 million. This is in order to deliver 1,000 units across Scotland, which would be rented out at below market level rents to eligible households. The eligibility of these households is detailed in section 2.8 in terms of the letting criteria. In Midlothian, we've already benefited from mid-market rent through the range of developments from housing associations detailed in section 2.3. However, unlike that National Housing Trust model, the LAR model doesn't need any financial input from the council due to the loan commitment from Scottish Government. The trust intends to engage with developers and house builders and others through acquiring units, or indeed through developments on development sites, which would be carried out by either ourselves as the council or registered social landlords or other letting agents in terms of acquisitions of properties. In order that these then remained affordable over the long term, the new units would have to be low cost, which is where the land element from planned developments, either from the council or housing associations, would be relevant. The local housing allowance is detailed in Table 1 relative to the comparable private rented sector rent charges in Table 2, and it is towards the local housing allowance rate that the rent charges are likely to be pitched. Tenants would have an assured tenancy in this model, so if there were any housing or medical needs which remained unmet or developed through the course of the tenancy, those tenants would be eligible for consideration through the Common Housing Register with ourselves and Melville. In terms of this model, the LAR enables additional investment in affordable housing across Midlothian and would bring additional affordable units to us and beyond those which are being planned in our own programme in the preceding paper, and also in terms of the housing supply programme that we work in conjunction with registered social landlords. Consequently, Cabinet's recommended to note the contents of the report and support the use of the LAR model for affordable housing, either on our own sites or where there's opportunities elsewhere with housing associations.
Kelly.
Thanks, Chair. I think this is certainly welcomed. I'm happy to note the recommendations. And also just to point out as well is that these 1,000 homes across Scotland are on top of the 30,000 affordable homes that the Scottish Government has already given, so it's certainly very welcome. I just wanted to note as well is that there has been some progress in terms of East Lothian, and that they've recently brought into stream 100 affordable houses. I just wonder if we're speaking to our partners at East Lothian and learning our lessons and best practice from them.
Yeah, I would confirm we have very close contacts across a range of whole housing tasks and projects with our colleagues there. So yes, we certainly do, and taking that opportunity together with our finance colleagues in terms of the funding elements of the different housing options that there are in the market at present.
Kath.
Hi, I wonder if there's any plans to increase the CHR and include other providers from Midlothian?
Certainly, we continue to canvass other housing associations that operate. There are 9 that operate in Midlothian, between ourselves and Melville being the biggest landlords. That certainly is looking to maximise the opportunities for residents who require housing, social rented housing in Midlothian. Certainly, because of the current allocation review that's ongoing, and clearly we have a seminar planned later in the month to bring to members, we will be addressing that in the Housing Association Forum meeting that we have next week, in order that we can again take that opportunity to offer others to come on board in that regard. However, some of the national housing associations are not in a position to do that because of their own allocation policies that need to be consistent across the whole of Scotland rather than specific to the localities that they work in.
Yes.
And the other question I had is, it's a very strict allocation criteria on income. What if after someone's living in the house, their income changes? Will they be asked to leave, or will they be entitled to claim housing benefit whilst not working for that specific house?
Yes, certainly if a household circumstances change, as in any sector, then we would certainly be able to respond to that. If there was no longer earned income, people would be eligible, subject to the changes in welfare reform, for eligible benefits. But there would not be any termination of their tenancy on the basis of income within the household, because the assured tenancy model that's going to be used would be comparable to a Scottish secure tenancy in the public sector, whilst quite not the same, it's the next nearest thing. So there would not be any breach of tenancy or end of tenancy resulting due to income changes.
I presume that the incomes will be index-linked. The figures will not be static, though changes, incomes do change.
Yeah, I would anticipate that would be the case, yes.
It's certainly a welcome initiative from the Scottish Government, and if it's some contribution to solving our housing problem, and especially at zero cost to us, it has to be welcomed. We're happy to move the recommendations, if we recommend it. Can we move on to item 5.1, the East High Street Public Realm Improvements? Peter.
Thank you, Chair. The purpose of this report is to advise Cabinet on the proposals to improve part of the public realm in Eastern High Street, Dalkeith, to restore and relocate the Burns Memorial Fountain, which is known locally as the Burns Monument, and to recommend the allocation of Dalkeith Town Centre developer contributions to the project. The proposals will complement the works already taken place in the town centre as a result of the successful Dalkeith Townscape Heritage Initiative and the Conservation Area Regeneration Scheme. The works are outlined in paragraphs 2.7 and 2.8 of the report and comprise hard and soft landscaping and relocating, repairing and redecorating the Burns Monument. The public realm improvements will take place outside the toll booth and the former Cross Keys building, and the Burns Monument will be relocated to this destination from its current position in Buccleuch Street. The proposals are to be funded from developer contributions and monies awarded by Dalkeith Business Renewal. The ward members have been briefed by officers with regard to the project, and the recommendations are as set out in section 4 of the report.
Jamie.
Thanks for that, Peter. Yeah, this is a very exciting project which the three ward councillors have been involved in for a little while now, and I'd be absolutely delighted if you'd accept these recommendations.
Well, it's certainly good to see our national poets going to stay around. With that, if there's nothing, thank you for your attendance.